And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just covering down on some major ground across the southeast U.S. of A. Y'all, I'm talking about this show. It goes from like Huntsville back over to Chattanooga, from Tuscaloosa back over to Gadsden. I'm talking about all the way down to that loveliest little village on the plains we call Auburn, straight across the border to what we now call Fort Benning. Once again, Fort Benning. And big old patches of North Georgia and Mississippi thrown in, just for good measure. And by the way, that's just the radio. Then there's all you online people. Thank you very much. We appreciate you more than you could possibly know. We got listeners and watchers and streamers and downloaders and podcasters and stuff all over the place. Love this audience. Blessings on you. What you got?
We got a comment on the X, by the way. It says, yeah. Do you think Ketanji Brown Jackson will be an illegitimate pick because of the auto pen / dementia?
Well, the only reason why I would say no is because she was confirmed by the U.S. Senate. So she got there. He spoke about her. He talked about her. He didn't just like show up and go, who signed that? But then she actually went through the confirmation process. So I'm pretty sure we're stuck with her for a while.
Unfortunately.
Yeah. But I think there's going to have to be something said about if there are issues that come before her related to transgenderism. Is she already going to be biased because she's out there on the record saying she can't define what a woman is? I mean, good Lord.
You feel like that would be a bit of a conflict, but.
You just think so. All right, listen, we're going to jump on in here for a few minutes. Don't forget, coming up top of the next hour, it's the Grand Council with Jeff Poor, and today our buddy Yaffe sitting in for Dale Jackson. There's a thing we do here on this show. We have our own lexicon, our own language. We got several words we like to use, with some of which we haven't had to use a whole lot. Because since the Biden administration got booted out of office, we don't talk about kakistocracy near as much, which is a word that literally means a government run by the least competent of its citizens. We don't find ourselves talking about other things near as often as we used to. But there is this one word that we used quite often. We like to call it jackassery. Yeah, indeed. Jackassery. I mean, I'm looking right now. I got a list here. Here's some things we've seen of recent days, like New Jersey Representative LaMonica McIver, who assaulted ICE agents. She's now facing federal charges. She was in court today. We got Judge Hannah Dugan out of Wisconsin, who helped smuggle an illegal alien out the back door of the courtroom just to evade ICE arrest. She's now been indicted by a federal grand jury. We got Senator Chris Van Hollen, who flew down to El Salvador to have a margarita with an illegal gangbanger and then got demolished by Marco Rubio in a Senate hearing yesterday.
Marco Rubio actually said that exactly in one of his, I don't know if you saw that comment of his.
It was epic. In fact, it just rolled right by like it was one of those things like it was inserted in the middle. And no one could even grab hold of it before he'd already moved on, and it was already there.
And Van Hollen goes, that's baseless. That's absolutely baseless.
We could see the salt-crusted glasses on top of the table. Thank you very much.
And put that on water.
How about this jackassery? The biggest debate within the Democrat media establishment right now is who's to blame for Joe Biden's mental and physical incapacitations. You got the fact that Kamala Harris keeps coming out and giving speeches, sounding worse than she did before. You got Tim Walz, who's out there telling Minnesota college grads that federal law enforcement are nothing but Gestapo. You got David Hogg being pushed out by the DNC. We embrace the young. We want Gen Z. Oh, wait, not him. They kick him out. Dude hadn't even been in position of leadership for like, what, a month? And they're already ousting him.
Because he didn't meet the diversity requirements.
He was not diverse enough. And then you got Chuck Schumer, who's 74, Nancy Pelosi and Bernie Sanders in their 80s. And yet AOC and Jasmine Crockett are like figureheads in the Democrat Party. So the jackassery just runs deep in the Democrats right now. But some of the decisions that you're watching, you look at it and go, okay, when is someone going to say, that's about enough of that? Like, here's one that I hold in my calloused former paratrooper hands. Pulled this off the New York Post. You know, crime in the big city. Why is it always a surprise to them that when you throw money at it that doesn't involve throwing money at police officers, that you actually wind up with more crime? So the city of New York, Mayor Eric Adams, who actually has moderated his positions quite a bit, especially since he got indicted. But nonetheless, Mayor Eric Adams, The city of New York is going to spend $1.6 million to put panic buttons in hundreds of bodegas around the city. Panic buttons.
Wait, wait, wait. What buttons?
Panic buttons.
Do they make that sound when you press it?
I don't know. I walked right into that.
Yeah, you did.
With my mouth hanging wide open. Yeah, 500 of them installed in hotspot crime areas. So across the five boroughs of New York, they're going to say, okay, here's a great idea. We don't know what to do to stop crime. How about we upfund the police force? No, no, can't do that. Why don't we do this? We'll put panic buttons in the bodegas. They're bodega buttons. So bodega's going to have a button. Bodega feel threatened. Bodega push button. Bodega gets the scream. Go ahead and launch it again if you want to. Now I'm ready. Thank you. Thank you very much. And the delis will suddenly have, like, I don't know, somebody coming? I don't know. If you don't unfound the police, who's going to come? It's
don't know.
It's layers of jackassery is what I'm seeing right there. How about this one? A Christian summer camp, Fox News has this one, Dateline yesterday. A Christian summer camp that has been in, so by the way, I used to work for a ministry called Young Life. I was on Young Life staff for 7 years. Still, I like to say it's one of the best jobs I've ever had in my incredibly diverse, somewhat schizophrenic resume. But working for Young Life was amazing. And Young Life has amazing properties for kids. They're almost like resorts for kids. They're so incredibly well done, so incredibly quality. Some of our best camps are out in Colorado. I love Colorado. I can't tell you how many times I took kids to Colorado, or for that matter, just wanted to be there because, you know, Rocky Mountain High is just an incredible place. Well, there's a camp in Colorado that has been there for decades, and the camp it's got a weird name. It's called Camp Idrahaje, which is like a spinoff of the words, I'd rather have Jesus. So that's the name, Camp Idrahaje. It's a Christian children's summer camp for kids ages 6 to 17. Been there since 1948. They have between 2,500 and 3,000 campers come through every year to Camp Idrahaje. And Camp Idrahaje, for the first time in its entire existence, had to file a complaint in federal court just a week ago. Why? Well, it's Colorado. Imagine where we're going here. Yeah, they want to know why they don't get a religious exemption on the new transgender laws for the state of Colorado. This is becoming cartoonish at this point. So you got a Christian camp being told you have to let transgenders come and use the bathroom of their choice and sleep in the dorm room of their choice and do all the things, you know, of their choice. You have no say in it. But I'm sorry, that violates our faith. I'm sorry, we don't care. You about to say something? What'd you have?
The camp was called I'd Rather Have Weed. They'd be all for it. I'm Colorado.
Camp Ha-Weed.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is, okay, so state of Colorado has lost their minds. They passed a law. When did this come out? I'm looking at, I can't remember. But you know what? I do it like this. Alliance Defending Freedom, which is an amazing organization, has taken on Camp Idrahaje's case, and they are fighting it. And they're claiming that it violates the Free Exercise Establishment and Equal Protection Clauses of the U.S. Constitution. Yes, that would be true. That's in Colorado. That would be a big piece of jackassery. How about this? City of Chicago, Mayor Brandon Johnson, one of the least inspiring political figures in America. One of those guys who basically leads you to believe that anybody can be elected to something in the United States of America. Brandon Johnson, whose sole mission in life prior to becoming the mayor of one of the largest cities in the world was being an activist for the teachers union. Brandon Johnson is now being investigated by the Department of Justice, wanting to know why he has been putting together a pattern of discrimination based on race. In other words, basically what he's been doing is race-based hiring in the city of Chicago. Harmeet Dillon, who, you know, famous for her support of the Trump administration, she's now working in the DOJ Civil Rights Division. She launched the investigation saying, "Our investigation is based on information suggesting that you have made hiring decisions solely on the basis of race. In your remarks made yesterday at the Apostolic Church of God in Woodlawn," he spoke at a church you highlighted the number of black officials in your administration and went on to say that this is something that they cannot allow. We're not going to allow reverse discrimination. But yet Brandon Johnson believes that the thing to do is brag about how many people of different races or of a certain race are in his administration. Like that's something to be championing. I mean, why don't you just go ahead and say, and by the way, South Africa, we like what you're doing. It's just, it's jackassery, and yet they're in office. So hit me some jackassery. I will say this, part of me doing this too with this jackassery is to hopefully make you feel glad about where you live. Because I've got any number of things that are happening around the nation, and I look at it and go, well, I'm glad I don't live there. How about this? The Maryland governor, who's a black man, by the way, who is a Democrat, he vetoed a slavery reparations bill. Because the legislature passed it. I can't fathom this. I look at this and go, what is happening when the legislature of an entire state gets together and goes, here's a good idea. Nobody in modern history has been a slave in America, and nobody in modern history has ever held slaves in America, but we're going to make sure that people in modern America pay money to people who may or may not have had any nexus to slavery in America, which ended, by the way, in 1865. So, frontpagemagazine.com has a piece that I hold in my hands, Dateline 2 days ago. Maryland Governor Wes Moore was forced to veto a measure that would have created a commission to study reparations in Maryland. And he basically said, we're just not going down that road. We're not. Well, good for you. So there's actually a Democrat mayor who's willing to push back on Democrat jackassery. And it was happening in a big way. All right, take me to a break, my JP. We'll take the break right now. We'll come right back. I got some more jackassery. In fact, I got more than we're going to get to. I can just tell you right now. You know why? There's a lot of jackassery in the world. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back. And we are back. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Solid conservative, just plain right. Just, I mean, like, man, making common sense like a superpower. All right, so I got a piece here from the New York Post. Sometimes jackassery can be expensive. Just saying. Sometimes jackassery can actually have a price tag attached to it. Like, how about California? So, piece from the New York Post, Dateline 2 days ago. Last week, California Governor Gavin Newsom announced that his state is facing, wait for it, a $12 billion budget deficit. State of California, a $12 billion budget deficit. Pray tell, why would this be? Well, it's mostly the budget-busting welfare programs they have out there. So the piece I've got here for the New York Post points out that one of the things that they've done in California is just like literally give away the farm. They are giving so much free stuff away to somebody pays for it. So much free stuff away to illegal aliens, especially, that the blue state governor out there is finding himself unable to pin the blame on anybody else. It's not a federal government problem. It's not like you didn't get your federal funding. It's because California is in a hole because of unprecedented levels of social service spending, especially on illegal immigrants. And Gavin Newsom is now saying, oh, by the way, we've got a $12 billion budget deficit. Last year, they made their version of Medicaid. It's called Medi-Cal. Medi-Cal was made available to all illegal immigrants. So come to the United States, get your surgeries for free. Come to the United States with all the health issues you might bring from your third world country. We'll take care of you, clean all that up. It'll be great. By the way, we'll all pay for it. Cool. No problem. And listen, that's not me being heartless, but at some point you got to have some realism. There was recently a state audit on homeless spending in California. Found the state had spent $24 billion in the last 5 years on homelessness, and yet the homeless population grew by 30,000. What exactly are they funding? Are they funding the ability to drag them out in the street and leave them there? What is happening right now? Anyway, all we're looking at here is California. Which, if by the way, if you look at California by itself, California has a GDP that is bigger than most nations in the world. It is a incredibly productive state that is incredibly stymied by jackassery that is just ripping it up. Like I said, jackassery, it has a price tag sometimes. How about Tim Walz? How about we not talk about Tim Walz?
Please.
Well, let me just do this. The guy that helped Kamala Harris learn how to speak to white guys, because, you know, that was a thing. Democratic Minnesota Governor Tim Walz recently compared ICE, the Immigration and Customs Enforcement personnel, to the Gestapo. Does he really know what the Gestapo is? Is he aware of what the Gestapo is? When he slings out terms like that, does he have any idea what he's really saying? That those are the people who, by the way, killed millions of Jews in concentration camps, the Gestapo, who disappeared people in the dark of night all the time. He doesn't care. So basically, Tim Walz is giving a speech at the University of Minnesota Law School, a commencement address. Standing up there in his robe and the silly beret they make him wear sometimes when they do the commencement addresses. And start talking about executive orders issued by Trump to address illegal immigration. And then began to compare ICE to the Nazi German dictator Adolf Hitler's Gestapo secret police in a commencement address. You know, I'm pretty sure that even those somewhat partisan members of the audience would probably have preferred to just come and hear about the great things that are going to happen when their son or daughter walks out into the world with that law degree and actually begins to pay their own bills. But no, they got to hear doom, gloom, Gestapo. Last couple I've got on jackassery. So New Jersey Republican gubernatorial candidate Jack Cittarelli. New Jersey's really got it going on lately. I mean, they got mayors being arrested. They got Congress people being indicted. And now they got a New Jersey Republican gubernatorial candidate saying that all Democrats running for the position believe with sanctuary cities that New Jersey ought to be a sanctuary state. So the Republican is calling them out. Cittarelli, who's running as the Republican for governor, is saying that New Jersey is filled up with Democrats who want New Jersey to be a sanctuary state. He said this. He said, when someone is trespassing in a high security area, we put our hands on them. That's exactly what we did with Mayor Ras Baraka. You remember the whole thing around the ICE facility where they were just there to do oversight. That's all. Never mind the elbow you put in the back of the police officer's head. But Cittarelli says, you know what? What we're looking at here is basically they're trying to make us a sanctuary state. And the sanctuary states, I think they ought to go ask California how that level of jackassery is working out. There's that. All right. I just ran the gamut. Jackassery. I hope what I did also, too, is just gave you a sense of why you should be glad you live where you live. All right. Coming up next, we're going to do the Grand Council coming up at the after the break at the top of hour number 3 here on a hump day. The Grand Council with my brethren Jeff Poor and sitting in for Dale Jackson today, our buddy Yaffe. So, yes, it is going to be a high time because I'm pretty sure there's a lot of things in the news. Phil Williams, Right Side Radio. Y'all stay tuned. We will be right back.